Welcome to the Config Manager SP1 overview session. I am Dilip Radhakrishnan, and this is Jason Adams. We are program managers on the Config Manager team. We have a lot of content today, so we'll quickly get into our agenda. So we'll be introducing the concept of people-centric IT management. Brad touched on it in his keynote. We have a foundation session. We followed up with that. And what I'll do here is to set more the strategy and roadmap, how we are looking at systems in the Config Manager and Intune, our roadmap, how we're going forward in the context of the people-centric IT management. And then we'll be doing a lot of breadth coverage on the current product that we're shipping, which is the SP1 release. But we'll also have a lot of sneak peek and demos on the R2 features that we are going to be shipping later this year, but we have a preview release of that coming very shortly. One thing just to set the expectation is this is an overview session. We have 9 breakout sessions. So think of this more as like a wine tasting session. You're going to be getting sips of various features that we have. If you really love some of those flavors, then go get a bottle in one of those 9 sessions. Okay. You would have probably seen some variations of these slides because people are going to be talking anywhere in this people-centric track about challenges and how we solve these problems in people-centric IT. So let me just quickly get the animation done and so I can just talk through the whole slide. So basically the primary scenario, as Brad and Molly were pointing out in the keynote this morning, is users want to have a choice of devices. In fact, some of our customers actually go in and give their employees some budget and you can buy your devices rather than the company procuring for them. But there are others, the other end of the spectrum is completely corporate control, there's no personal devices. But there's definitely a trend we are seeing in our enterprise customers that there is more and more of BYOD devices. So, and what it also leads to is an explosion in number of devices because you're not now managing just one user to one PC or one user to one laptop, right? Each user on an average at least has 3 to 4 devices that needs to be managed. And the challenges that comes in from these personal devices is, in addition to accessing your corporate IT resources, these guys want to access your line of business applications in your enterprise. And that's become a challenge because it's no longer just deploying an MSI file or an AppV file. Now you have to deal with, oh, is it an iOS version that he wants? Is it an Android version? How do I even develop an app on the other platforms that we have between Windows, iOS, and Android? There's no standardization, and there are different challenges when it comes to deploying applications on these platforms. And last but not least, data. The user data, as well as the corporate data, are all on the personal device now. So how do you make sure that you can secure what is important for your enterprise? Think of when has anybody even come to your office and say, hey, boss, I lost my desktop, right? But then think of how many people lose their smartphones and tablets. I was just reading the other day that just at the airport TSA checkout counters, security check counters, there were like 7,000 devices in a short period of like 3 or 4 months that they actually had those devices, either left on planes or at the airports. So those kinds of scenarios are really emerging, and it's a different paradigm when it comes from an IT management perspective. So how we are approaching the problem is breaking down it into 3 different solution aspects. One is we want to help IT departments empower their users, so that way their end users feel more productive, and you guys get a good name from your end users. It's not like, oh, well, that IT department did this to me. It's more like, oh, they helped me actually get my SharePoint access internal to from my personal device. That's a great message that it'll be good for your end users and it's beneficial for your company. But when you do that, how do you do that with unifying your environment? Because if you had to take the kind of infrastructure we have today for on-premise Config Manager, where you have to deploy sites, site hierarchies, boundaries, set up such a way that the PC clients can enroll, but these mobile devices are going to be anywhere in the world, and it's not a scalable option to try and deploy everything in-house and manage that in-house. So that's where the scale and the flexibility of an Intune service comes in. But we want to balance it with having a unified admin console so you don't have to relearn all the concepts. You just go in and say, okay, I know how to deploy apps today for PCs. what do I need to do additional for mobile devices? We've integrated everything into one single console so that all your concepts and the features that you use today are all familiar and reused. And we also saw from the keynote demo this morning the ability to protect corporate data by addressing the lost device scenario that I just talked about by using features like selective wipe. So we now have the ability to do a wipe of only a corporate part of the data and not your personal data. That's one way we address security. But more importantly, when you look at the user identity and infrastructure that we provide through Intune and Azure Active Directory for authentication, really makes it a very secure and for a single sign-on for your end users as well. So this is the last of the slides because I want to quickly jump into some demos and then we can come back. So when we talk about single pane of glass, right, I wanted to make it very clear what we mean by that, both from a product deployment perspective as well as from an architecture perspective. So you have the on-premise config manager that you're all familiar, and I see a lot of you are already on to 2012 release. But then there's also the Intune subscription piece that can be added on to it. We use the top half where the strength of config manager is really your on-prem PC management. You can do operating system deployment. You can do endpoint protection. You can do app deployment. So there's a lot of tons of features that we have today to manage PCs. We've already extended that in the SP1 release to support Mac operating system as well. So from just a desktop infrastructure, that's how it works today. And then in addition, if you sign up for the Intune subscription as a Config Manager customer, you'll be able to easily integrate that and use it to manage all the new types of devices, your PCs, RT devices, Windows Phone 8, and iOS and Android devices. So let's take a quick look at how we do that. So I'm going to switch over to my demo machine. Okay. So what you're looking at is the admin console for Configuration Manager R2 release. So wherever some features are new in R2, I'll specifically point it out. But most of the features, obviously everything that was there in SP1 has been carried forward. So what we are looking at is how to set up an Intune subscription onto an existing Config Manager instance. So if you go under the under administration node, you'll see a new node called Cloud Services. This is new in R2. You'll find the Windows Intune subscriptions under the hierarchy configuration if you were using SP1. But if you're already deployed 2012 and you're moving to SP1, when you come to R2, this will be the only change is the location of the feature. So you can create a new subscription by launching a wizard. In a few easy clicks, it'll help you add that subscription. But for the sake of time saving in this demo, let's take a look at some of the properties that we collect from you when we do that demo, when we do the subscription setup. So the first thing you can do is specify who are the users in your enterprise who can actually enroll their mobile devices for accessing corporate data. So you as an IT admin has a clear control over which subset of users can do this. And we do that by making it just like any other collection that you have in Config Manager today. So you create a special collection, say in Intune collection, and then put your users under that. And only those users will be able to enroll into the management service. Then you can completely customize the branding of that portal. So whether they come from a Windows device, iOS device, or Android device, they'll have a very consistent look and feel. We saw some in the demo keynote demo this morning, and I'll be showing some of that later in my demo. And then you can customize the company logo so that they have a look and feel that's simple and familiar. And then you can also make them contact help desk, put all the information they need to contact help desk if they run into problems. But the critical feature addition that you see is our support for all these different platforms now. So you can actually go in. The wizard will tell you, do you want to enable any of these platforms for management? You could choose to say, I can allow only Windows and iOS and maybe I don't support Android devices. That's a choice you have. But if you enable any of these platforms, we collect some fundamental information. Like, for example, on Apple, we need the ability to have an Apple notification service registration and certificates deployed through the Intune service, because nobody can directly poke a iOS device that's sitting anywhere in the globe. You have to go through Apple's notification service for that. So again, we have a lot of deep dive sessions where we'll go through each of these, but this is just to give you a flavor of the kind of heterogeneous support that we've added by integrating Intune into Config Manager product. So there's one more step you need to do to set up your Intune subscription and complete the work is you need to set up a site role, and this site role is called the Intune Connector role. So what this role does is lets you define all your policies, applications, everything is using your on-prem config manager, and then all the data that's already published as apps or all the policies the connector will be using and synchronizing that to the online Intune service. And similarly, when the devices, once they download the policies, enact them, and then send the data back from a compliance reporting perspective, it comes back into the config manager database through this connector service. So the role will be called, it's like manage.microsoft.com. That's the public URL we have for the Windows Intune service. So that's it. Those are the two steps you need to do to set up an Intune subscription. So you already, if you've not tried, you should give it a trial because you already get a 30-day free trial for that, at least to prototype and play around trying to enroll some iOS devices or your Windows devices. In fact, you guys have all got Surface or Surface RT, a great opportunity to go try them out with Intune. So let me quickly switch back to the deck. So we talked about what were the problems and then how we are addressing from a solution perspective. We still have not let go of our core feature set, which is around managing corporate-owned domain-joined PCs. So the pillars that we have for our own product, not the solution pillars, look similar, but they're slightly different. For example, the Empower users, we'll not just talk about BYOD devices, but when we talk about empowering users, how do we make sure that we empower users who work in your offices to have the best experience with Windows 8 and 8.1? And when we talk about unify infrastructure and simplify administration, Jason is going to take you through all the enhancements we've done through our infrastructure and pull DP and all the new features that we are introducing to improve the existing infrastructure for PC management. So in Empower Users, I'm going to be covering these topics. I'm going to show how do we manage the best of these new Windows devices, how do you deploy them, how do we set up heterogeneous device management. I'll do a quick walkthrough of the different end user self-service portals, and then cover the important aspects of apps and settings management. So again, in the keynote this morning, Ian McDonald showed so many types of Windows devices. The core operating system is same, at least on Windows 8 platform. The only difference is on Windows RT, you cannot run your the traditional MSI legacy apps. But in terms of just the Windows platform, and there is different options you have. You have the traditional PCs, you have laptops, you've got Ultrabooks. We are definitely seeing a huge uptake in Windows 8 adoption. So, and same thing, we are also seeing a good take on phones as well recently. So it doesn't matter which your form factor is, we, through Config Manager, give the best experience for securing and managing these devices through Config Manager. And then, obviously, there is also a huge market adoption on our competitive platforms on the mobile form factors, phones, and tablets. So we've added extensive support and native support now for iOS and Android devices as well that we'll talk about. So the main question still in IT ahead is, if I actually let you bring all these devices, how do I make sure that these policies are compliant? So here is how we approach that feature set in the SP1 release. We obviously, in the new form factor devices where battery is very important and you have to be always on, always connected, you cannot put our traditional config manager agent and load it and say, okay, let's run all the things we are used to running. So what we developed in RT and Phone 8 was we developed a very lightweight management agent, which in some documentation gets referred to as MDM agent or OMA-DM, which is the protocol it uses. And with that, we actually enabled a lot of features where you can actually make apps available to users so they can pull the app and install it. And we allowed you to sideload applications. Like on these new Windows 8 devices, especially RT devices, you cannot just go in and sideload any app. If it's a modern app, it has to come only from the store. But that doesn't really work in enterprises that need to deploy line of business applications. So we enable the ability to sideload applications using our product. So we did a lot of settings. We did provide compliance reporting to mobile devices. So those, that's the feature set we enabled using a very lightweight mobile device management agent that we ship inbox. And even in the keynote, they announced today that they are documenting that protocol. It's going to be an open protocol that even third-party vendors will build on this. The second aspect of it is the ability to manage the core Windows 8 PCs. There, in addition to all the traditional features that we had, so we had the full-blown Config Manager client running on Windows 8 PCs. So with SP1, you could not use the lightweight agent on a Windows 8 PC. You could use it only for RT and phone, where it comes built into the operating system. But whereas the Windows 8, x86, and x64 didn't come built in with that lightweight agent. So you had to deploy still the Config Manager client to get all the functionality that you're used to in terms of operating system deployment, endpoint protection, and software update management, and all the features. So what we are announcing new in R2 is, first of all, our support for Windows 8.1. So it's going to be a free update. If customers who already started deploying Windows 8, we'll help them do the upgrade. If you've not yet got to Windows 8, we'll help you deploy and roll out Windows 8.1. So that's a big feature we'll be covering in our breakout sessions. Then we are also introducing, as I said, the lightweight management agent is also being built into all SKUs of Windows. So the x86 and x64 agents also get the lightweight management agent. So what it gives you now is a choice. If it's a personally owned device, then you can use the MDM channel and then go through the Intune subscription. Whereas if it's more a corporate purchase PC, you still want to have all the complete capabilities of a full-blown Config Manager client. So we just did not just take the agent and ship it in all SKUs of Windows. We also enhanced it to support new scenarios like able to push software distribution. We can do. We have added tons of new settings, and we're going to show demos of that. And we added the support for selective wipe. So we're kind of enhancing the lightweight management agent. But at the same time, you need the full-blown agent for serious OS deployment scenarios, malware protection, and if you need other things like update management. So those are not supported in the light agent. So the other thing you saw in the keynote demo was they showed a concept called workplace join. And I wanted to explain a little more on what it is and how it's different from what we do as mobile enrollment through Config Manager and Intune. So the workplace join basically lets you to register a mobile device today when they showed it in the keynote demo where through the phone factor app. It gives you a call, it gives you authentication, but you could also do it without the multi-factor authentication. And then you just register, it creates an object record and a user device affinity for that object in Active Directory. And it's also built in, as you saw in the demo earlier today from Molly, it's already built in into PCs. You go into a networks, workplace location, and then you'll see that there's an option to do a workplace join. On the other hand, we do MDM enrollment, so that's a distinct step because workplace join gives you just an identity of your device in Active Directory. But it doesn't give the IT admin any power to set policies, push applications, and all the scenarios that we really bring with Intune requires you to have the agent enrolled. So what you get, though, when you do both is a great combination because for IT, you get more control and you can reduce your risk. And for end users, they get seamless access to all their corporate data. So let's put on the PC management hat and we'll look at Windows 8 and 8.1 deployments in the enterprise. So there are three typical scenarios that we see when people deploy new operating systems. One, I've got a hardware refresh in my company. We were lucky at Microsoft to all get a new laptop recently. So basically, when you get a new hardware, you have a choice to either build a new image and then deploy it on the device or use the, it's more a pull model. The end user goes through Pixie boot, you press your F12 and get the image downloaded and installed on the system. The second scenario is you have an existing device, you want to keep all the apps and data that you already have on it, but you want to move to the new operating system. So you can do that in a couple of ways, like there's wipe and load, where you install the new OS and then reinstall all the apps and settings from that into the new device, or you could do it side by side. The third scenario is you have remote offices or you have low bandwidth connections and you don't have ability to take the media that you can over a well-connected network, then how do you create an image like a pre-staged media and then do the deployment? So these are standard scenarios that we support. We did it with 8.0. We'll continue with 8.1. Windows 8 also introduced the concept of Windows to Go. The scenarios around it were having a very lightweight PC on a USB stick. There are some good scenarios where you just have everything on that, your apps and data on that USB stick, and it's like a PC within a PC. You go plug it into your home PC, and you still get the containerized environment. So in Config Manager, we allowed you to build the image using Config Manager. The Windows to Go image can be created through our product. We help you also push it by deploying it as a push install, or it could still be pulled by the end user. And then when the device does behave like any other PC and gets reports back, you have a choice as an IT admin. How do you want to deal with inventory of it? Because it's not really a PC in the true sense. So when you talk about assets and catalogs and inventory reports, you can still treat it as just a Windows to Go device versus a full-blown PC. Or if you want to classify it as a PC, you could still do that. The other thing we did as a Config Manager team was we want to make sure that your end users' experiences on Windows 8 and 8.1 are optimized for all the design goals that the operating system came with. As I talked about earlier, these tablets and these small form factors that you see have a requirement to be having high battery life. And they also need a fast switching to come out of sleep, like almost instantaneously. So again, we had to go and re-architect parts of our Config Manager client to behave and be a good citizen in that framework. Because we cannot just go in and say, oh, there's a system is not on powered, but it's on battery and it has like only 10% battery left. Let me start going doing a big update at that time. Or if there are some operations that require network connectivity and we detect that there's no network, we wouldn't even start trying to do that. And there is other concept called maintenance windows where you can actually have time allocated for doing some background tasks. Typically, it's like 3 a.m. every day in Windows. And we try and optimize and plug a lot of our background process to fit into that. So basically, the whole goal is CM client helps, or rather make sure that it doesn't drain your battery on the device. And the metered connection support is an interesting scenario because I'm sure all of you, when you look at your cell phone bills once in a while, you'll always see some surprises. At least I do with my AT&T bill. So the problem happens when you try to push the apps and other things, and it more and more of these tablets are beginning to show up with 4G and LTE support. Then you have to be careful when you're talking about pushing stuff to personal devices, right, and end users' devices. So what we allow is a policy setting that in Windows you are able to detect whether a connection is like a metered network connection. And then you have a choice of either blocking, treat every metered connection just by default as if it's like disconnected, don't do any updates, don't do any management of the system. Or on the other extreme, do an allow, which is like company pays the bill, I don't care how much it is, I need that scenario to be really enforced. But most of the organization are probably going to be somewhere in the middle where you try to do limited work so that we can get some things like allow policy to poll so it can send some information and still give the choice to the end user by prompting them with a warning. Moving on to the other mobile device management capabilities. Before SP1, we did have MDM, but it didn't take off that much because the only things we offered was through Exchange Active Sync. And people did use it, but it didn't have all the deep management capabilities that came with directly partnering and using Apple's MDM protocol or building our own agents for Android. So what we've done with the Config Manager plus Windows Intune is to have the single pane of glass where we have very deep management capabilities. In R2, we are actually introducing a native iOS app for self-service portal. Similarly, for Android, we have built our own agent for Android, and we have built our own self-service portal for Android. So these are new changes that's coming in from our R2 release. So let's then spend a little, because we're on the topic of empowering users, so what's new with the end user experiences? If you're deploying Config Manager 2012, you're probably already aware of a feature called Application Catalog. So you deploy apps to it, an end user can go and install and deploy apps from the catalog. It's a more a self-service model. But what it was restricted only from on-prem networked PC management. What the self-service portal that we built through the Intune connector and the Intune service gives you is native apps on each of the platforms. So in Windows 8, you go to the store and you can download this self-service portal app. And iOS, we are working on an app that I'll show some prototypes, the current and preview builds on that. And for Android, we are still working on it. It might come a bit late. We might have some mockups that we can share probably. So in terms of the functionality that we are introducing in R2 is we have the ability to feature certain apps to pop up and say these are featured apps, your IT admin thinks you might want. We can also have corporate branding with unified management, which is what I showed you earlier. One other thing that we really did a good job with the 2012 release was introducing the concept of application management through app model. So this concept was all about, instead of you having hard-coded logic in your MSI and other things about what are the dependencies of apps, what are the supported platforms, we had the knowledge modeled around the application. So you took the package and created an app model around it, and we introduced the concept of a deployment type. And we earlier had a deployment type called MSI, we had an app V, and with Windows 8, the modern apps are called AppX packages or modern applications. Sometimes they're also referred to as Windows Store apps. Then for iOS, there is a new format called iOS IPA files and iList files. Android has some APK, Android package files. And then the apps are not only available on your corporate store, but they're also available on public store. So for some of the apps, like for example Skype, if you want install, you don't get the version available to you so that you can deploy Skype internally on iOS. You can only point to the publicly available version of Skype from the App Store that Apple hosts or Google hosts. So what we did was take some of the complexities out again. So we take, here's the app, and here are all the deployment types of an app, so that you as an IT admin can still worry only at the application and deploying the apps rather than worrying about the DTs behind the scene. So let's go take a quick demo look. So I need to get to Slate. As soon as this power's on. There you go. So this is the demo I used earlier this morning. So I have my boss Paul's photo here. So in a Windows device, let me quickly show a few things that you saw earlier from this morning. We talked about workplace join and other things. You go to network, workplace. This is where you go in and sign up as an end user to do either a workplace join or MDM enrollment. And you'll see live demos of it tomorrow in our unified device management session where we go into a lot of this in depth. So once you do that, your device is enrolled and it starts showing up in our Config Manager console. But you also, as an end user, also can see all your devices from the self-service portal. So this is the one I talked about earlier. It's completely branded, so you can imagine your own company name on it. You can look at the featured apps that I talked about. You can have the list of apps, and some apps are the side-loaded apps that you can deploy, and the end user can directly install by pressing the install button. There are some apps like the Skype I showed, which are only available in the store, where we just give a link to view in the store. So that's how you deploy apps. I mean, the other thing I forgot to tell was the contact IT and all the branding information is available there. So again, we'll have a lot of in-depth demos. I'm going to just quickly switch to show what's the experience on the next device. So we're going to see. So you see an iPad. And here is the company portal in an iPad. So you can see that we've tried to make it look like an iOS app, but we still kept the basic concepts the same. You can go contact your IT for support. I click contact email. It sends an email to IT for help desk. I'll do delete draft. So I can get to the Contoso website. I can look at my devices. I can go to, if I want to give my iPad to my kids, I can do a remove myself so that I can remove all the corporate data. That's a self-initiated selective wipe. And then more importantly, I can get to my apps, which is where it connects to the Intune service. So I'll have to give my password, for which I might have to turn it off so I can type my password. So it's connecting up. And you can see the list of apps. There is an expenses app. You can install the expenses app. It normally, again, I'll leave it for the other demos to show that it actually works. But this is to just give you a flavor for it. When we are on the SSP stuff, let's go back to one. Need to go out of this just to give you a flavor for the third one. So this is just an early mock-up of how we were envisioning the Android experience. You can see the same concepts. You can go through the Android. You'll be logging in through the portal. This is not moving. Okay, I think folks online might not be able to see that. So this is just to give you an idea that the final look and feel when you come into the portal would look exactly like this. So you'll have apps, devices, contact IT. The same theme carries forward into each of these platforms. So you'll be able to install applications and work with those as an end user. So as you can see, the IT becomes more and more involved with end users. There's more interaction with end users. But this also feels that the end users get a good deal of this. Back to the PC management hat. So the other things when it comes to app management is a lot of our customers deploy AppV. Can we have a quick show of hands? How many of you do AppV? It's a pretty decent number here. So AppV helps you. The primary scenario is you can isolate your apps. Each app runs in its own space. So we had an integration with 4.6 SP2. In the SP1 release, we integrate with 5.0, which is the latest release of AppV. The good news is you don't have to have a big challenge in migration. In fact, we had a session today, or it's there tomorrow, on all about how to do this migration. But they can coexist, and it can on the same device, and it can help you migrate. The main feature that's worth calling out here in AppV 5 is the concept of connection groups. What it allows you to do is each app, if it's in its own bubble, how do they interact with each other? For example, if I have Visual Studio, and I have a plugin for Visual Studio, having these in two different bubbles is not going to help the apps talk to each other. So what we do is create a concept of a connection group that lets you add these two into one connection groups. And another good example is Link and Outlook. If you use Link and Outlook, there is ability to, schedule your meeting or know that somebody is presenting or send your email status. So there's a lot of integration between the two products. It's a great scenario where this can be used. And there's a new node if you go to the app management called AppV Virtual Environments, which is where you'll find this feature. So moving on, group policy had a lot of interesting features from a data perspective. There was the ability to go and do folder redirection where you had your users' data follow them wherever they go. And what we added in our SP1 release was doing the same capability completely through Config Manager to configure this client-side caching, roaming user profile, and folder redirection. With that, we are adding in the R2 release the support for work folders that you saw some demos this morning. So the work folders is, think of it as your on-prem file server, but it is being cached. And you can move it between devices as well. So the current plan is to support work folders on Windows and iOS devices when we ship Windows 8.1 timeframe. And the other cool thing is when these devices show up on your network, especially in mobile devices, how do you enable them to connect to the corporate network? The way we can do that is to provision a VPN profile for that user. And this is a feature we support both for on-prem PC management as well as for mobile device management. And what we did was work not just with our Microsoft's VPN team, but we, talking to customers, we know pretty much the market share is a lot with Cisco, Junipers, F5, Dell, SonicWall, and Checkpoint. So we approached them and we worked with them to make sure that we can configure their VPN profiles through Config Manager. So that's a big benefit you get if you use one of these products. There's an easy way now, and I'll show a quick demo on that. And then the another interesting aspect there is there's a new feature called app-triggered VPN, which is you could specify on a per-app basis that when you launch this app, like when I launch terminal services or something, it can automatically trigger a VPN connection because it's going to try to connect to the corporate network. So that's a new capability on a per-app basis to trigger VPN that's being introduced in the Windows platform. So we also help you manage your Wi-Fi profiles. You can set certificates on them or smart cards. And then the certificates need not be just for your app, VPN, and Wi-Fi. You can deploy it for any other purpose as well. Like if some of these modern apps require a code signing certificate, you could use that to deploy that. So let's do a quick walkthrough of that. And so you come under Assets and Compliance. You'll see a new node called Company Resource Access. There's VPN profiles here. We've already configured a VPN profile. I'm just going to show you the different properties. You can set, here's the IP address I'm connecting to. You can go in and specify, here's the different protocols that I have for authentication. I can use simple passwords, or I can say it's smart card or certificate is required. Can set a proxy if I want, but this is the auto-triggering feature. So there are two ways to do auto-triggering. One is the app-based auto-triggering that I showed you, I talked to you about. The second thing is this DNS-based triggering. So you can just say any traffic that goes from your device to corp.contoso.com can automatically trigger a VPN connection. And I am not going to create a profile, but I just want to quickly show you when you create a demo VPN profile. Here is where you come in and select the different vendors that I talked to you about. You have support for now Cisco, Juniper, FI, all these vendors. So if you use one of these, you could use that, or you could use the default protocols like PPTP or L2TP, depending on what your security team wants. So I'm going to cancel out. So similarly, you can deploy Wi-Fi profiles. You have, I have in this example a corporate and R&D Wi-Fi profiles, and then there's certificates, the ability to deploy certificates through this. Everything is completely wizard-driven, straightforward to use. The concept is it uses DCM baselines, so you can pretty much use the concepts you're already familiar with. You create a VPN profile and target it to a collection, and then it gets deployed to all devices in that collection. So we talked about other capabilities of protecting your data. We allow do selective wipe, so you can wipe only your corporate data and not your personal data. But the implementation varies on the platform support. In some cases, we can do this all the way through when it's well supported in the platform. In other cases, we can't. We can only do remove parts of what I've listed here. So we'll be documenting what is feasible and not in our documentation. Plus, the deep dive sessions will go into this in extensive detail. We did add support for Mac OS X earlier with SP1 release. And in the R2 release, we added the 10.8 Mountain Lion support as well. So for those of you who have clients who use Mac, can manage these devices through Config Manager now. So the last thing here is there are some customers who use embedded devices as thin clients and access the corporate data. And in those cases, we have the embedded device support also in SP1. Again, there's a big breakout session that talks in detail about the embedded devices and all the support we have. Since I'm running out of time, actually, I'm going to hand over to Jason to talk about the infrastructure enhancements.
Thank you, Dilip. All right, everybody, thanks for sticking with us. I know that there's been a ton of content coming at you. What I'm going to talk about now is some of the infrastructure improvements that we've done. And the watchword for all of 2012 was hierarchy simplification. How do we simplify these complex hierarchies and infrastructures? And what we've done now is taken that simplification and added levels of flexibility as well as ease of access for new administrative experiences. So let's dive in here. As you've seen so far, lots of little bitty tastes of different new functionality. As we hit something, I'll go ahead and call out to you which session later on you should go to get that deeper sense of what these things mean. So going into, this is not working, is it? Let's try one more time. There we go. So digging into reduced infrastructure requirements. Since SMS 2003 and Config Manager 2007 and moving into the current product, we've changed the requirements for infrastructure. And there's a lot of folks out there who are still a little unsure. When do I need to deploy a certain infrastructure component? In 2007, maybe you had a lot of DPs. In 2007, perhaps you had an 8-deep hierarchy. You had central primary sites. And now we've introduced these new things like a CAS and we've removed things like branch distribution points. So let's spend a moment to look at the different infrastructure pieces and when you would deploy them and why you might not want to. So let's start with that central administration site. Now, the CAS really should only be deployed in the context of having a hierarchy to support large scale, and that would be scale above 100,000 clients. Now, we've worked hard to create a single primary site that can handle 100,000 or less clients. So really, when you're looking at a central administration site, think about, do I need to have multiple primary sites? What that should translate to is, do I have more than 100,000 clients to support? Now, in the past, with the original release of Service Pack 1, of RTM, you also had to think about, may I need a CAS in the future? I know I only have 80,000 clients today, but one day I might get big. The company could hit the jackpot. We could go ahead and start onboarding tons of new customers and devices. What if I need a CAS in the future? And in the RTM release of the product, you had to think about that. And if you thought you were on that edge, or you thought maybe one day you'd get there, you had to deploy that central administration site proactively. That's no longer the case, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, about how you can expand a single standalone site in order to have your hierarchy grow with your needs. Primary sites. I think I mentioned before, a primary site can handle 100,000 clients easily, can chew right through it. So you should have a primary site if you have 100,000 or less. The other reason why you might want to have multiple primary sites is if there's some sort of political reason internally. Now, bear in mind that we have made design that you don't have to have lots of primary sites everywhere. But if you want to, if you really want to spend the time and money and administrative overhead to have multiple sites all over, then you can definitely do that. And there are still a few good reasons to do that. Now, some of those are not things like delegated administration or different client agent settings, things like that, that in the 2007 and 2003 era of products, you had to have those different primaries to have that delegated administration model. Those aren't there anymore. And we'll see how we refine that story a little bit more with regard to role-based administration. Language packs, untrusted forests, all these things are no longer roadblocks to deploying a single primary site for less than 100,000 devices. Secondary sites, for the most part, it's all about content, fan out, how to manage traffic from a particular network location so that you're not spamming the network. That's when you would think about using a secondary site. You would not think about the Config Manager 2007 or SMS 2003 case, which would be deploying it so you can get throttling for your content. You can do that now with your distribution points. And finally, changes to the distribution point. Really now it's all about distributing content. And what we'll talk about a little bit is something called a pull DP as well as a an Azure DP that you can also deploy to help with that. We no longer have this idea of a branch distribution point, although there are elements of that as far as a model that we'll see when we talk about pull distribution points. All right. So a whole bunch of infrastructure improvements came into Service Pack 1, and I'll be doing a session tomorrow that goes into better detail about exactly what these are. But what you mainly see is the ability to kind of sculpt and to schedule the traffic for replication, as well as to use things like distributed views so that you can have a lesser footprint of not having to have a lot of replication going on. And that can improve your network bandwidth. So tomorrow morning, if you'd like to see specifics on how that would work and how to turn that on, you can definitely come to that. Now, what I do want to call out is that for R2, our upcoming product, we've also given the ability to reassign clients easily between Config Manager sites. We'll be talking about that again tomorrow as well. One thing I do want to highlight, though, is while you can definitely reassign a client between sites, this is not a disaster recovery scenario, because you do not have the ability to do that reassignment unless you can talk to the client. So if you don't have the site there in the first place, you can't talk to the clients that used to report to it. So I mentioned before that we have this idea now of site expansion, of the ability to grow your standalone primary sites into a hierarchy if you grow to that size that you require one. And the way that works is you actually install a brand new central administration site, and you point it to the existing primary. It then does a sync, pulls everything off of that site that was unique about it, and then puts it so that it is now the top-level site in a hierarchy. Now, tomorrow morning, I'll be talking about some of the differences between how this works versus how the site attach work. And we'll actually do a demo where we walk through what a site expansion looks like, and then how you would then use migration to then pull over elements and pieces that you want from other primary sites that you maybe pick up in a merger acquisition, or if you had multiple primaries in your environment. Now, I mentioned that there are new types of DPs, and one of the most exciting ones is the one for Windows Azure. Now, this gives us the ability to provide, especially in the branch office case, the ability to put content out into the cloud. Now, you can set this so that it is the primary method, but really you have to work on your boundaries to make that occur, because by default, this would be the last resort content source for a client when looking for this, because we are definitely cognizant of the fact that a cloud DP usually has a little bit of a bill associated with it. But it provides great flexibility for those branch offices. We have multiple offices across the world. Why not have that all point to something in the cloud instead of having to stage the same content in lots of DPs spread across the United States? And we've also done a lot of tweaks to the way the content management works. We've got a lot of new in-console monitoring. Once again, I'll be talking to these more specifically tomorrow. But we've definitely worked on ways to make the network presence of these things a lot better. So in the past, we would send out an entire package. Whenever we'd send it down for a superseded app, we only send the changes across. We have this new idea of a pull DP. What that is, a DP, and it is a standard DP, but instead of relying on the site server to provision it, it instead looks to a source DP, and it does so on a pull basis. Now, the exciting thing in 2012 R2 is that we think that this may give us the equivalent support for DPs that we had back in the 2007 era. So we're still doing those measurements. We're still looking exactly what that means. But we could get back to a scenario at some point where we have that equivalent, where we're talking about thousands instead of hundreds of DPs being supported on a given site. Now, this one we're going to spend a little bit of time on. There's this idea of a wake-up proxy. Now, one of the big pieces of feedback that we received from the field is that our wake-on-LAN solutions did not work in all scenarios, and that we needed to do something new and something better in order to provide that magic packet, that ability to wake things up. So we've done that, and we've given the ability to have a reliable wake-on-LAN solution for the following areas here: things like software updates, task sequences, software distribution, app management, remote control, and file share. So what exactly is a wake-up proxy? So imagine, if you will, a scenario in which out in the WAN, you have a user, basically where the config manager instance is, but you have these two client machines. The one on the right is the client machine, and the one on the left will have a special role we'll talk about in just a second. Now, right now, both of those machines are online. But let's say, if this would work, there we go. Let's say that this machine here, and you can see the MAC address, was to go offline. User goes home, what have you. Another machine on the network has been set as a manager. Now, this is something that happens dynamically. You don't have to specifically pick which one is the manager. It pings and sees that that machine is now offline. And what it does is it takes a record of its MAC address so that when there is some sort of a request that comes down off of the WAN from Config Manager, because it is mimicking the MAC address of the client that's currently offline, that request goes to the manager computer. Now, it doesn't do anything with it because it isn't actually the client. That is not going to be ACT back. However, because it has seen that there is a request for that machine, it will then generate the magic packet and send it over to the client machine. Now, that first transaction that came back and hit the manager was never acknowledged, right? So now, it will retry, and this time with the machine online, the MAC is no longer being mimicked. And that request will now go to the client machine, which will then send back the acknowledgement, and we will continue with whatever needs to occur for the product. It is something that is elegant in its complexity, but it definitely provides a solution with some caveats. So the things to think about for Wake Up Proxy are that you need to have a specific kind of network, and there's a lot of information online on TechNet that you can use as guidance to how you would plan and implement this. Specifically, there are only certain supported platforms, and you have to be in a position where you know that there are at least three machines within that subnet that will be online in order to take care of it. Now, also be aware that in some networks, impersonation of a MAC address can be considered a security exploit. And there could be scenarios in which it would be flagged and ports might be shut down if a network administrator was not aware of what this behavior was. So if you want to deploy this, make sure that you are in good communication with your network admin so that he can understand what is occurring and make sure that his environment or her, that their environment is properly configured to allow this to occur and not to be flagged as something that it is not. We also have certain things that are not supported. IPv6 as an example, 802.1x port authentication. So it is a very workable solution, but it is something that you will need to work with your network admins in order to make sure that it's something that can be worked on and used inside of your environment. Okay. All right, endpoint protection. Now, the thing about endpoint protection that we're doing now is moving more and more into providing more real-time and more client-side support. Now, the biggest part about endpoint protection moving into Service Pack 1 is this idea of real-time admin actions. So there will be further sessions that talk more specifically about EP, but the thing that I'm going to call out and really highlight is the real-time administrative action. So I'm going to give you a quick overview of what it looks like, and then I'm going to do a demo for you. So real-time admin actions. Now, quick show of hands, who here has ever heard the term that SMS equals slow-moving software? Okay, yeah. So I have been either supporting, testing, building, designing Config Manager or SMS for about 10 years now, and that's something that has been a chip on my shoulder that entire time. Working with customers in the past, it always used to be, well, give it an hour or so and then come back, and everything should have worked itself out. This is because we use a pull model. And in the past, there was always this thought that architecturally, how would we ever have a true pull-based real-time action? Well, our devs got together and they figured something out. Now, I'm going to go ahead and kind of use some simplistic terms for exactly what's going on here. But the best way to think about it is sort of when the telephone model, that this is a dial tone, that a client Still on that pull basis, a client, though, is maintaining communication with a management point. It's an active TCP session that, if interrupted, tells the client that there is an immediate action that needs to be taken care of. So if an administrator pulls one of a certain number of actions and puts it against either the collection or against the client, it will pick up the fact that there is that action, a task will be created on the MP, and the client will pick up that call and know that it is time to enact that action immediately. So let's demo that real quick so that we can see exactly how that works in practice. Now I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a rundown of what you're seeing on the screen right now. On your right, you'll see my site server. On the left is the Windows 8 client where we'll be doing the demo itself. Now, just some things to call out. The key logs that we'll be kind of paying attention to so we can see it happen are the bgbserver.log. Now, BGB stands for Big Green Button. When we were first working on this, we thought, wouldn't it be great if an admin had a big green button that they can press and just have stuff happen? Now, that was the way we thought about it, and we then came up with Client Notification Service as the official name, but we forgot to change some of the log files. So we see BGB Server and BGP Setup. That is for the big green button feature. So if you look here, look here at the bgbserver.log, you can tell just by looking at it that there is some sort of monitoring going on, and it says, hey, I have one online client right now. So you can get an immediate look at exactly how many clients have checked in and currently have a TCP session with the system. Now, if you come down to the client itself, we've actually gone through and changed this instead of BGB agents, now the notification agent. But this is where you'll see on the client side, its attempts to send that keep alive message, that dial tone. And also, in a few moments, we'll be able to see things like the ID of the task that's coming down. One of the things I've always loved about Configuration Manager is that if you know your logs and you know the handoff, you can go identifier to identifier and find any workflow and kind of figure it out for yourself. Very easy to troubleshoot. So for those of you taking notes, BGB server log talks to, ultimately, client notification agent.log on the system. This is on TechNet too. Now, in order to show this at work, let's start out here in my demo collection where you have this system, Melissa-FLA Corp. And what I'm going to do is come to my software library. I'm going to take a step back here real quick. Before I go in there, let me show you the stuff that you can do here. Anything that says endpoint protection, and in this case you have full scan, quick scan, and download definitions, you can do immediately. So what that means is you can go to a collection, right-click on it, choose any of those three options, and immediately, bam, it's going to run that operation. Now, there's another one in here, though, that has made my life as a demoer far easier, and that's the one right above it under client notification. Download computer policy. I know that over time there have been tons of plugins that people have had that tickle WMI and tell a client to download policy. But in this case, we now have it and it's integrated into the system and it still uses that pull architecture so that we're not stepping on any of the key architectural concepts. So this is the one that you can immediately tell that client either on a collection basis or by going to the client itself and selecting it, telling it to download all the policy that's available, a way to immediately move down any kind of changes. So in this case, the change that we will make is to go into software. I've created a very simple demo where I'm just going to fire off Notepad, just so you guys can see it immediately click on the screen. So here's the package. We're going to deploy it. Go to my demo collection. And then since the nice thing about Notepad for demos is that Notepad just fires, no content needed, we'll tell it to launch immediately. Okay. And now what I'm going to do is go back out here to that collection, right-click. I'm going to choose go to client notification, and then download computer policy. It's the entire client policy. This is the way that you can catch everything. So that's how we're going to be pushing down an app to it. So let's go back to that log, and we can see down here at the bottom. Give it a second. Oop, it just created a task, a push ID, and a task ID right here. I'm sure those of you who can look down on the lower left can see that over here on this log, we see those exact same IDs have just been picked up almost immediately. And in the background, we just fired up a copy of Notepad. So what we've basically done is we've built into the system an ability to immediately push down key downloads. Now, caveats to this are that if you are constantly always pushing things down, you will see some network traffic. So be aware of that. Really treat it as something that for the super important stuff, you know, this is something that you've got in your toolbox. And that's, by the way, why EP is wired this way. Because with EP, we know that typically malware, antivirus, things like that, those are going to be the ones that you need to get on there immediately. Okay. So let's go back to the slides. So let's talk a little bit about simplify administration. A lot of these are little tweaks that we've made in SP1 and R2, so there isn't anything that earth-shattering. So we'll work our way through that. There is one actual earth-shattering thing, but I've got a far better demo for it that I'll be doing tomorrow morning. And we'll get there in just a second. So end-user client UI improvements, we've kind of dotted a few I's, crossed a few T's. We now have multi-select and software center, and we've now, since we're using Silverlight 5, we no longer need to have an ActiveX control. PowerShell. Now, this is something that a lot of folks have worked really hard on. And what we want to do is have compatibility through the rest of the System Center suite, especially with Ops Manager, and this ability to use PowerShell to work with Orchestrator and other pieces to have a much simpler management experience. And you can go on TechNet and you can see all the different commandlets that are available. You can do things like create boundaries, create apps. There's all sorts of stuff that you can do automated now. And in a far, at least in my opinion, a far easier way of going about it than using the SDK. Now, there are going to be a couple of sessions, one tonight and one on Thursday, about deploying Windows 8 as well as MDT. Aaron Chakowski will be doing those. He will be able to go into much greater detail about these specific areas. In general, though, what you'll see is that we do now have some pre-staged content file with MDT, as well as bulk USB creation. And we've also moved some of the key zero-touch stuff from MDT directly into native Config Manager OS deployment. Once again, Aaron's going to be covering that in more depth coming up in the sessions, both tonight and on Thursday. Okay. All right, so this one is pretty big. Role-based administration. We've now put this into reports. So one of the things that people have said in the past about why they want to have multiple primaries is because they want to be able to set up a primary somewhere and have an admin be the owner of that primary. He would handle those clients, he would look at those results, and everything would be scoped to that user. And what we've argued in the past is that, well, there's RBA for that. You could have one primary site, and you could have everyone with the appropriate role so that they could then have access just to the things that they should be seeing. And then the counter that we got from the field was, well, what about the reports? So even if I give somebody just a scope to a certain area or collection, if he goes and runs a report, he's going to see everything in that report. It's not really as granular as we need it to be. So in this conversation that you and I have been having without actually having a conversation, my response would be, well, now we're going to put RBA into the reports. So what that means is that if a user runs a report, he will only see, A, the reports he can see. So as an example, if he's a software updates administrator, he's not going to see any of the infrastructure reports. And vice versa, if he's an infrastructure administrator, he's not going to see any of the software updates reports. But even better, let's say that they're both full administrators, but one only is a full administrator for a given collection, right? He is scoped down so he can only see what's in that collection. It's the collection for all of Dallas. He can only see Dallas machines. When he runs that report, he is only going to see the data on that report that is relevant to the machines that he is scoped to. So that means the report will be different between administrators based on the roles that you've set up. Alerts, we had lots of great feedback on alerts, especially around the endpoint protection ones. And the reason why we got that great feedback is that the endpoint protection alerts all had email notifications associated with them, which was great. If you get an alert, you would want to get that added in there as well. What we've done is we've taken that concept and expanded it so that now all alert types have the email notification, and we've turned on the ability to ignore certain types of alerts. Also, we've added better parity with Linux and Unix. Most of this is so that we can be consistent with other System Center products. Now we're looking at having hardware inventory, software inventory, and software distribution, along with integrated reporting. And here are the specific versions. This will be available on TechNet as well. So in general, what you can see from the elements that we've been talking about is that there is a progression, that we've moved through time from 2007 through 2012 to 2012 SP1, basically creating better and wider supports and experiences with different types of users and devices, as well as from an infrastructure point of view, making it so you can do more with less. In fact, what I would say is that it now works better with less. And with these two things in mind, just remember that we've been talking about with the people-centric IT that we've been working on. I hope that you've enjoyed the kind of the overview of the different device types and the different experiences that Dilip provided to you, as well as have the sneak peek at Config Manager 2012 R2 and the next version of Windows Intune. Here's some related content. As I mentioned, or as Dilip mentioned, this is sort of a wine tasting. This is where you can go and get your bottle of wine. We have these sessions available. They start, I think the first one is tonight after our session. And if you have any questions whatsoever, please feel free to come up to the front. Dilip and I will be available to answer those questions here for the next 10 minutes or so. All right, we appreciate your time, and thanks for coming by. Thanks.